Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. This is Abdul Nasser Jengda and you're listening to the Qalam podcast. Qalam is an organization dedicated to making Islamic knowledge accessible for everyone. Alhamdulillah, the month of Ramadan is a very beautiful and powerful opportunity for learning and spiritual growth in the life of a Muslim. Therefore, Qalam has put together amazing resources for you and your family, your community to benefit from in the month of Ramadan, from a webinar on how to prepare to recitation of the entire Quran, the meaning and the message of the whole Quran, the du'as from the Quran, special webinars and events in regards to the Battle of Badr, the last 10 nights and Laylatul Qadr, and so much more. We're very excited and happy to bring you all of this Ramadan programming. Be a part of the good work that we are doing at Qalam, educating Muslims, educating people all around the world by going to supportqalam.com. Donate, contribute, give generously, and have your share in the Sadaqa Jariya and the amazing work that is going on. Supportqalam, QALAM.com. Jazakumullahu khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Bismillahi walhamdulillah. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Alhamdulillah. It's good to be here with y'all on another blessed night of the month of Ramadan, the last 10 nights. And tonight is particularly the 25th night of the month of Ramadan, one of the odd nights, one of the key nights. So alhamdulillah, we're glad that we're able to get on here to have a little session of reflecting upon the forgiveness and the mercy of Allah from the Book of Allah. I apologize for the time change. That is basically Ustad's fault. So no, it's my fault. I'm sorry.
One. No, it's okay. I'll take one. My fault, guys.
So, but alhamdulillah, we're able to still be able to congregate together and have a little reflection. Alhamdulillah, it's a blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So today, to get started, we are going to be reflecting on some very beautiful verses of the Quran from Surah Al-Furqan, Surah number 25. And I will go ahead and just read the verses and just translate them and then ask Ustad to share some reflections with us, inshallah. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. This is Surah number 25, called Surah Al-Furqan, verses 68, 69, and 70. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. والذين لا يدعون مع الله إلها آخر ولا يقتلون النفس التي حرم الله إلا بالحق ولا يقتلون النفس التي حرم الله إلا بالحق ولا يزنون ومن يفعل ذلك يلقى أثاما يضاعف له العذاب يوم القيامة ويخلد فيه مهانا إلا من تاب وآمن وعمل عملا صالحا فأولئك يبدل الله سيئاتهم حسنات وَكَانَ اللَّهُ غَفُورًا رَّحِيمًا. The translation is, those who never invoke any other deity beside Allah, nor do they take a life which God has made sacred except in the pursuit of justice, nor do they commit adultery. For whoever does these things will face the penalties. Their torment will be doubled on the day of resurrection, and they will remain in torment disgraced. Except for those who repent, believe, and do good deeds, Allah will change the evil deeds of such people into good deeds, for he is the most forgiving and the most merciful. So those are the verses, surah number 25, verses 68 through 70. Ustad, if you could please enlighten us with some thoughts and some reflections.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam ala rasulillah. So these verses actually come in the in a larger passage. They come at the, you know, in the middle sort of a larger passage in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's a famous passage known as Ibadur Rahman, or the characteristics of the servants of the most merciful, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala details many, you know, beautiful characteristics of people, whether it's how they walk, how they talk, how they spend, you know, their inward and outward piety, basically, in their iman and also in their character. And then you come to this point in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts to describe some of the people that go the opposite direction. And he describes them and he says that first thing, وَالَّذِينَ, that there are those who do not, and he's describing them, but in the negation. So he's saying the servants of Rahman are those people who لَا يَدْعُونَ مَعَ اللَّهِ, they don't ever call upon anyone besides Allah. إِلَهًا آخر, no other God. وَلَا يَقْتُلُونَ النَّفْسَ الَّتِي حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ, and they never engage in any sort of combat or killing and take the life of anybody else ever, that which is what Allah Ta'ala has sanctified, except when there is an exceptionally just reason or cause, meaning that they don't just go around and start to kill people and engage in violence. وَلَا يَزْنُونَ, and they don't commit zina. Then Allah Ta'ala says, وَمَنْ يَفْعَلْ ذَلِكَ, and whoever does these things, right? So the negation, and now he's saying, but if someone does do these things, يَلْقَ أَثَامَ, that these people will face a horrific penalty. They will face a penalty. And then he describes, he says that their penalty will be multiplied on the day of judgment, and they will be placed in it forever in a disgraceful way, in a way that is full of disgrace. So these two verses are like really scary, man. They're very scary. I mean, very intimidating, very overwhelming. Not to say that any one of us, inshallah, you know, worships anything besides Allah, or, you know, does murders or commits zina or these things. But we are so surrounded by a society in which this stuff is so normalized that it becomes easy for us to sort of become desensitized to these things, you know, like seeing people who worship besides Allah, seeing, you know, every night, if you turn on the local news, people are being killed, you know, being murdered. In the world, there's just rampant murder and violence happening. And zina is just like a casual, it's just something that's expected now. It's something that's casual, whether it's outside of the ummah or unfortunately within the ummah. So it's scary because we are growing up and we are living and we are spending our lives and raising children in a time where the shock factor of these things is getting less and less and less. And so it's very, very scary, subhanAllah. And when you imagine the kind of person that might engage in these things, the person who worships besides Allah and, you know, gets violent and commits zina, and you imagine that, it's easy for a person to think to themselves, like, man, this person is gone. They're done. You know, there's no way. You know, it's like the triple threat, but the wrong side. You know what I mean? Like, you know, you think of somebody who's pious and you think of they have like three or four amazing characteristics. Then you think of this person and you're like, dude, there's no way. This person is committing shirk. This person is killing people. And this person is committing zina. Like, good luck, man. Send me a postcard from hell, dude. Like, you know, there's no chance. There's no chance. You know what I mean? And then Allah Ta'ala just flips the script, man. Amazing. إِلَّا مَنْ تَابَ وَآمَنَ وَعَمِلَ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا, that except if this person from this group, whoever repents, makes a U-turn, إِلَّا مَنْ تَابَ وَآمَنَ, and recommits, reaffirms their belief, وَعَمِلَ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا, and they try to do whatever good deeds they can. They try to put together whatever good deeds. Sheikh Abdul Nasser mentioned this, I think, the other night, when he said that this phrasing, the grammar behind these words indicates that it's not like a large sample of good deeds. من عمل عملا صالحا, that they just try to do whatever they can from good deeds. فأولئك, for those people, يبدل الله سيئاتهم حسنات. Allah Ta'ala won't just forgive them, right? Forgiveness here isn't just to erase. Allah Ta'ala will exchange for them, and He will transform and change these people, all of their bad deeds, every single moment that they lived in sin. Once they commit to come back to Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, everything goes from their left to their right. The angel has all the pages filled right here on their left. This is my left, by the way. The angel has all of these pages filled with drinking and fornication and this and that. All of it. It's all over here. Smoking and missing prayers and whatever. It's all on this side. And the angel on the right has very little. But then that person one night in Ramadan, maybe it's tonight, maybe it's the 25th, they sit and they say, oh Allah, look at me. Look at what I've done. And they look up at the sky and they look up around them and they say, what is the purpose of all of this? And their heart is just yelling, oh Allah, I'm tired. I'm tired of walking away from you. In the direction that I'm going, oh Allah, there's no well, there's no water. I'm dehydrated, I'm thirsty. The heart is crying out to the soul saying, just give me something to drink. And the person just says, you know, oh Allah, I'm done with this. I'm exhausted. I did my time, and I'm looking at it now, and I can't even recognize who I am anymore.
So,
illa man taba. That's the U-turn. That moment is the U-turn. I don't want this anymore, Allah. This isn't who I am. Wa amana. Then the person says, oh Allah, I'm your servant. I'm here to worship you. Wa amila amalan saliha. And that person, they get up, they wash up, they wash their face. They pray two raka'ah, they make dua, and maybe they go to Fajr at the masjid for the first time in years. Maybe 15 years, maybe 20 years, maybe ever. Everyone looks at them, they're like, who's this person? Never seen this girl before, never seen this guy before. Right? They just walk into the masjid. People might wonder who they are, but Allah knows who they are. They might be a stranger to others, but they're familiar to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because they just had a beautiful conversation with Him. And they pray their Fajr prayer, and then they drive home, and they feel like the weight of the world has been lifted off their shoulders. And that's because it actually has. Allah, that angel with all of those deeds now gets transferred to the other angel. And Allah ta'ala doesn't just forgive that person, but He completely and totally exchanges every single deed. It's like being in debt $1 million. And you apologize, and you rethink your ways, and you commit to being better. And the bank says you're no longer in debt. In fact, we've filled your bank account with $1 million. Can you imagine? Can you imagine, Sheikh, like that feeling? Not even that they've paid off your balance, but that they've given you some. This is the generosity of Allah Subhanahu wa Taala. This is why when Allah Taala is the one who is the most forgiving, the most merciful. There's nothing, you know, it's unbelievable. When I read this verse, you're like, it's unbelievable. And the reality is, it is because you keep comparing it to the mercy of people. We keep, even my example of the bank, it's still unbelievable because it's people. There's nothing, nobody, no single soul, no collective, no group that will ever be able to come close to one fraction of Allah's forgiveness. And to the point where the Prophet ﷺ says, not even your own mother. Not even your own father. When a person, you wonder, who's the most soft-hearted to me in my life? You have to think of your parents, maybe your spouse, your siblings. And Allah, and the Prophet ﷺ says, not even your own parents, man. Not even your own siblings, not even your own spouse. Allah forgives you in a way that is literally out of this world. It's one of a kind, just like Him. And so this verse is, to me, you know, it's one of the most inspiring verses because even though Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, and the tafsir actually says this, I remember reading this in the tafsir like 12 years ago when I first was like coming across this passage, I was blown away. And subhanAllah, Shaykh, the tafsir mentioned that if Allah can do this for somebody who's so far away, then can't He do it for somebody who's closer? If a person is so far gone, you know, they're committing murder and committing zina and they're worshiping something, then can't Allah do it for the Muslim who's just weak? Does the person have to be that far gone? And of course the answer is no. Allah is giving the most extreme example so that everybody from that point in also knows that they can get this too. All they have to do is just come back to Allah, promise Him that they're going to try their best and do something good. And Allah Ta'ala says, all of those things that you regret, they become now your greatest asset. So we ask Allah Ta'ala to forgive us and grant us this kind of beautiful forgiveness where it's not just erasing, but it's actually replacing. And we ask Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala to give us, to accept from us and to give us Laylatul Qadr and to allow us to reach it. Maybe it's tonight, 25th night. Maybe it's the 27th, maybe it's the 29th. I don't know. But I hope that whatever night it is, that we've reached it and that we've been able to make the most of it. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. Sheikh, any reflections, Sheikh?
Yeah, I mean, you touched on it. This is one of the very unique places in the Quran where, and there's many narrations to this effect, and you know, authentic narrations like in Bukhari, that it makes mention of this very unique thing. فَأُولَٰئِكَ يُبَدِّلُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ حَسَنَاتٍ, that those people, God will convert, exchange their sins for good deeds. As you explained, that you went from being in a debt for $1 million to now having $1 million in your account. Not that your debt was forgiven, like you have $1 million in your account. So it's like, you know, he gave you $1 million to settle your debt and then gave you another million on top of that to put you in the black, as they say, right? And the thing about it is, like you said, it was unbelievable. This is one of those things where there is no comparison in worldly life. Like, that doesn't happen. I mean, it's very rare to hear about somebody having their debt forgiven. But for not only the debt to be forgiven, but then to be given an equal amount on top of that, I've never met a single person who experienced that from a worldly point of view. I've never met a single person that happened to them, like, you know, in business or in their bank account or something like that. I've never come across it. So it's really astounding. But that is the mercy of Allah. And as a reminder, that's the kind of mercy that we are, you know, seeking. That's the forgiveness that we are looking for, that we are seeking. And, you know, there's all these beautiful narrations from the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You know, there's that one narration that always just, you know, it always just kind of stops me in my tracks, where it talks about how Allah will tell the angels to withhold the major sins of the person and only present, when his reckoning comes, only present the minor sins. And the person will be asked, you did this? And he'll say, yes, I did. Did you do this? And he said, yes, I did. And you'll own up and fess up to all of them. And then Allah will say, okay, well, you committed all these sins. We are going to convert all of them to good deeds. And the person will then say, wait. And the Prophet laughed at that moment. The Prophet laughed just like this. He started laughing. And while telling the story,
this person was definitely Maimun.
So this person will say, wait. I have a lot of humongous sins that I don't see here. Like, I did some really terrible stuff. Can we count those as well? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Prophet said, Allah will just think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will have mercy on that person and say, look how fascinating this creature is.
Allahu Akbar.
Allah will say, look how fascinating this creature is. And at that time, Allah will say, we know. You don't have to out yourself right now. Don't start talking about everything bad that you ever did. We got your major sins. We just wanted to see if you would be willing to own up and fess up to them. And Allah will say, all of those are converted to good deeds as well. It's amazing. It's amazing.
Allah. SubhanAllah. It's, you know, I think the one thing that I love about this, these kinds of descriptions, and you find them actually, you know, frequently, but you know, we talked about during before Ramadan on Clubhouse, inna lillahi wa inna ilaihi raji'un, to Clubhouse, you know, we used to do the mercy sessions, mercy from Allah. We used to talk about the ahadith from, you know, Bab at-Tawbah, right? The the chapter on repentance and rahmah from Riyad al-Salihin. You find them so often, all these descriptions of Allah's mercy. But one thing is interesting. In order for a person to make themselves eligible for this mercy, you know, no one is outside of the realm of Allah's mercy, meaning that nobody is like so far gone that Allah is like, I can't forgive that person. Everyone is forgivable, but you have to become eligible within your own self, meaning that, you know, everybody can, for example, sign up for a class or go to a, you know, go to a university and get a class credit, but you have to like register. You know what I mean? Like, you can't just show up to class and say, I'm here. The professor's going to say, I don't see your name on the roster. Like, did you register for classes? And so it's that way. The mercy is available to everybody, but you have to do something to register for it. You have to place yourself in the eligibility circle for it, right? It's like rain falling, but you have to drop the umbrella. You know what I mean? And so what is that thing Allah Ta'ala mentions here is that you have to do something that's really difficult, which is you have to admit you're wrong. Some people, you know, some of us, I should say all of us, the nafs makes it really hard to admit that we're wrong. Really hard. We don't even want to apologize to our own family, let alone Allah. You know, if I don't say sorry to somebody, if I think that I'm always right, however will I actually apologize to Allah? If I can never admit that I'm wrong to other people, you know? And so here it's interesting because Allah is saying, in order to receive the mercy that no one else can give you, you have to say sorry to the only one who can give it to you. That's it. Are you, as they say, I'm not trying to be exclusive here, but to the men here, are you man enough? You know, are you strong enough? To the sisters that are here, are you strong enough to say sorry to Allah? It's not a matter of whether or not you have sins. It's a matter of whether or not you can admit it. You know, and I think that Allah Ta'ala is saying, "Illa man taba wa amana wa amila amalan saliha." You know, it's a step that is light on the tongue but heavy on the heart. But man, subhanAllah, once you do it, that's why all the weight you feel is being lifted. So you know, the moment you apologize is the moment all of the guilt leaves you. But the more that you keep justifying it, the more that you keep delaying it, is the moment the weight gets heavier and heavier and heavier. You know, the weight might be the same, but you keep losing strength. So just ask Allah, man. Just ask Allah. You know, I don't know who needs to hear this. Probably everybody, probably me. Just ask Allah. Just apologize. Just ask Allah for forgiveness. Just say sorry. Just say you're going to try to get better, even if you don't know how. You have no idea how. Like you're in quicksand right now. You have no clue how you're going to come back to Allah. Just apologize. Allah will give you strength. وَيَرَزُقُهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ, he says. And I know this talking about rizq, but rizq can also be in the form of courage.
Mercy.
Right? Allah can, of more mercy, exactly. Of barakah, of blessing. Just start that path and watch Allah. As the hadith says, you come to him walking, he'll come to you with haste. You come to him a handspan, he'll come to you an arm span. You just apologize to Allah and just watch. Just watch how you wake up the next day stronger than you were yesterday. Ask Allah Ta'ala to give us that strength and courage.
So that narration that I was talking about where the man says, you know, I have all these major sins I don't see here, is from Sahih Muslim. It's an authentic narration. And the interactions the Prophet ﷺ had with, you know, some people where he invoked this verse, they're very fascinating. There's one narration in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he actually says that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam actually says that, or I believe Mu'adh bin Jabal radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he says, "Fahum aktharu ahli al-jannah."
Oh wow!
He says that the people who will have their sins converted to good deeds, that will actually make up the majority of the people in paradise. And there's another fascinating narration of the Prophet ﷺ that is just mind-blowing. Okay, so the narration says, it's Imam Ahmad has his narration, that جَاءَ شَيْخٌ كَبِيرٌ هَرِمٌ قَدْ سَقَطَ حَاجِبَهُ عَلَىٰ عَيْنَهِ, that And a very old, elderly man came to the process. I mean, he was so old, his eyebrows were big and bushy and white, and they were kind of like hanging down over his eyes. Okay? Very old man. فَقَالَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ رَجُلٌ غَدَرَ وَفَجَرَ وَلَمْ يَدَعْ حَاجَةً وَلَا دَاجَةً إِلَّا إِقْتَعَهَا بِيَمِنِهِ لَوْ قُسِمَتْ خَطِيئَتُهُ بَيْنَ أَهْلِ الْأَرْضِ لَأَوْبَقَتْهُمْ فَهَلْ لَهُمْ مِنْ تَوْبَةٍ. He says, oh, messenger of God, let me ask you a question. Someone said, what's that noise? So that noise is Brother Abdullah typing in the background.
No, that noise is a bunch of bugs becoming shaheed, mashallah.
So this elderly man comes to the Prophet and he goes, a really evil old man, right? You know how like when somebody says a question, hypothetically speaking, but in his case, he wasn't speaking so hypothetically. He said, what if there's an old man who has lived his whole life just being evil and wretched and committing sin and wronging, you know, just doing bad. And whenever he wanted anything, whenever he needed anything, he just went and he just did whatever he wanted to do. And he didn't care. And he has so many sins that if all of his sins were distributed upon all the people of the earth, it would destroy all of them. Then he says, فَهَلْ لَهُمْ مِنْ تَوْبَةٍ. Can that guy repent? Can that guy repent? And the Prophet ﷺ said, أَسْلَمْتَ. He said, are you accepting Islam? He says, أَمَّا أَنَا. He says, me? أَشْهَدُ وَلَا إِلَهَ لَلَّهِ وَحْدَهُ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ وَأَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. I become Muslim right now. There's no one worthy of worship except for Allah alone. He has no partners. And that Muhammad is the slave and the messenger of God. Then the Prophet ﷺ says to him, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَافِرٌ لَكَ مَا كُنْتَ كَذَلِكَ. Allah has forgiven all of your sins, even if you were like the guy that you were describing. And he says, وَمُبَدِّلٌ سَيِّئَاتِكَ حَسَنَاتٍ. And Allah will convert all of your sins to good deeds. So then he says, يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. Wait. He says, wait. وَغَدَرَاتِ وَفَجَرَاتِ. I've done some really bad things. And the Prophet ﷺ, without breaking his gaze from him, he said, وَغَدَرَاتَكَ وَفَجَرَاتِكَ وَغَدَرَاتِكَ وَفَجَرَاتِكَ. All of the bad things that you've done. The narration says, فَوَلَّ الرَّجُلُ. That old man got up slowly and he started walking away, يُهَلِّلْ وَيُكَبِّرْ, saying, لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ اللَّهُ أَكْبَرْ, لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ اللَّهُ أَكْبَرْ, لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ اللَّهُ أَكْبَرْ. And that was his interaction with the Prophet ﷺ.
Amazing.
It's so beautiful. It's so powerful. And what Ustad was saying, like, you know, how can I doubt? How can I doubt? How can I be skeptical of whether this is available to me or not? It's impossible. So
there's someone who asked a question, Sheikh, that I wanted to address.
Yeah, please.
Someone said, what happens if we keep coming back to the same sin over and over again after repenting? Then how, you know, and they said that, you know, addiction sometimes is difficult. You know, Qari Nu'man actually mentioned this hadith last night and somebody was asking for it. So I wanted to share it because this hadith is one of the most powerful ones. And actually last year, Sheikh, I don't know if you remember, but in the Change of Heart series, we talked about this very hadith. So the hadith is actually found in Sahih Muslim as well. It's authentic narration where Abu Huraira, he narrated that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has an interaction with a servant who committed a sin. And so the servant recognizes that they committed a sin, i.e. me, you, the person who's asked, all of us here. We know that we committed a sin. And he says, qala, the person says to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that, oh Allah, please forgive me. I have committed a sin, so please forgive me. Okay. And he says, فَقَالَ اللَّهُمَّ اغْفِرْ لِي ذَنْبِي. Oh Allah, please forgive me for my mistake. فَقَالَ تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى. Allah Ta'ala responds. And he says, almost like with not pride, but with like appreciation of this person's awareness, أَذْنَبَ عَبْدٌ ذَنْبًا. My servant has committed a sin, like a real sin. فَقَالَ اللَّهُمَّ اغْفِرْ لِي ذَنْبِي. Or I'm sorry, he said, my servant has committed a sin. فَعَلِمَ أَنَّ لَهُ رَبًّا يَغْفِرُ الذَّنْبَ وَيَأْخُذُ بِالذَّنْبِ. And he knows that he has a Lord that forgives sins, but also takes account people who commit sins. And that motivated him. And he then came to me and asked for my forgiveness. So then the hadith says, فَعَادَ, that the person then, ثُمَّ عَادَ فَأَذْنَبَ فَقَالَ أَيْ رَبِّي اغْفِرْ لِي ذَنْبِي, oh my Lord, forgive me again. So the person was forgiven once. Allah Ta'ala, he appreciatively praising this person, said, look at my servant. He's asking me for forgiveness because he knows that he has a Lord, a caring, loving Lord, who forgives, but also if he doesn't ask, he'll be taken to account for this.
Mm.
And so the person does it again and again. And actually, subhanAllah, you know what's crazy? The narrator, one of the narrators, he says, I don't know whether this happened 3 or 4 times.
Mm.
So this cycle repeated itself. The person committed a sin. Allahumma ghfir li dhanbi. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, look at my servant. He's asking for forgiveness because he knows that he has a Lord who will forgive, but also if he won't ask, he'll be held for account. So then what is the final thing after the 4th or 3rd time? Let's say 4, because Allah is more merciful. So then he says, Allahumma ghfir li dhanbi. Faqala tabarak wa ta'ala, أَذْنَبَ عَبْدِي ذَنْبًا فَعَلِمَ أَنَّ لَهُ رَبًّا يَغْفِرُ الذَّنْبَ وَيَأْخُذُ بِالذَّنْبِ وَأَعْمَلْ مَا شِئْتَ فَقَدْ غَفَرْتُ لَكَ.
Allahu Akbar.
That this person, Allah Ta'ala just said something very amazing. It sounds like it's going to be the same thing. And then he says, do whatever you want because I have forgiven you.
Allahu Akbar.
Why did Allah do this? The commentary says, because the person kept coming back.
SubhanAllah.
If the person committed a sin and didn't come back to Allah, then this conversation would have never taken place.
Mm.
This conversation only happened because the person came back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
SubhanAllah.
And finally, because the person kept coming back, they kept humbling themselves. They kept saying, oh Allah. You know, it's, they didn't just do it once and then say, ah, I give up. This is too hard. This is just who I am. Yeah. You know what? Exactly. It is who you are. It is who you are. You and I, we make mistakes.
Absolutely.
The Prophet ﷺ said every child of Adam is a mistake maker.
SubhanAllah.
But the best of mistake makers are the ones who repent. So we're going to make mistakes. But is our ego too inflated to come back to Allah and say, Allahumma ghfir li dhanbi?
Mm.
And then Allah Ta'ala, because of this person's sincerity, because they keep coming back to him, he says, go ahead and do whatever you wish. Do whatever you're going to do, basically, is a good translation. وَعْمَلْ مَا شِئْتَ. Do whatever you're going to do. As long as you keep coming back, as long as you keep seeking forgiveness, فَقَدْ غَفَرْتُ لَكَ. You're done. You're forgiven. Allah. Completely and totally forgiven. So the answer to your question is, if a person keeps committing a sin, never stop seeking forgiveness.
Mm.
Never stop.
Mm.
And eventually what you'll see is that if you keep seeking forgiveness, then you will slowly be able to crawl out of that sin. Maybe not immediately, maybe not right away, but something that you did every day or multiple times a day, you missed, let's say, every prayer, you're slowly going to start getting better and better. Mm. And it may be a long process, but year by year, and eventually at the end of an entire year, an entire decade, you're going to look back and you're not going to recognize even who you were.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 10 years ago, I was somebody who I never prayed a single prayer in my life.
Mm.
And now today, I'm waking up for Fajr.
Mm.
You're not even going to recognize who you are. Mm. But that only happens when you take those steps. You're not going to make it far at all if you don't start walking. Right? But if you give yourself enough time, you'll make it quite far. We ask Allah Ta'ala to grant that. This is a beautiful hadith, Sahih Muslim. One of my favorites. Sheikh Abdul Nasser is, his Instagram is circling. So I think that's it. Oh, there we go. He's back. Yeah. But I think this is a good time, inshallah, for us to be able to wrap up, Sheikh. I mean, the bugs are, subhanAllah. You know, they all want to become Shaheed in Ramadan. So, Sheikh, you know, if I may, I would just ask, you know, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive everybody here, everybody who even watched it for 1 second. Oh Allah, forgive them. Amen. We ask Allah Ta'ala to grant us your forgiveness. Amen. Allahumma innaka afuwun tuhibbul afwa fa'fu 'anna. Oh Allah, you are the one who pardons and you love to pardon. So Amen. Please pardon us, oh Allah. We have so many sins, ya Allah, that we don't even know all of them.
Amen.
So many sins, ya Allah, we don't even know. We can't even write down the sins that we did today, let alone our entire lives, Ya Allah. So please just forgive us. Your knowledge of us, your intimate knowledge of us. You are Latif al-Khabir, Allah. You know every single thing we did. Just forgive us for the mistakes that we made. We are weak. We need your forgiveness. We need your mercy, Ya Allah. Do not deprive us of what we need. You are the most generous, and you are the one that gives. Oh Allah, we're asking you to give us your mercy. So please do not deprive us of this, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, if anybody here in this gathering needs your help with anything in particular, oh Allah, these are the last 10 nights. Oh Allah, this is an odd night. And we are calling out to you, Ya Allah, with our hearts and with our words to seek from you everything that we need, Ya Allah. You know what we need better than we know what we need, Ya Allah. So we're asking you, oh Allah, to grant us this, to grant us all of the blessings that you have for us and to protect us from all of the tests that are in our lives. We ask you, oh Allah, to untangle us from the difficulties and the different problems that we've placed ourselves in. And we ask you to give us the strength to be able to bear all of the challenges that we have ahead of us, Ya Rabbil Alameen. And we ask you to keep us on your straight path, the path of your Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that we may be his neighbors and his companions in paradise. In al-firdaws al-a'la ya rabbal alamin. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi sallam. Amin, amin ya rabbal alamin.
Amin. Jazakumullah khairan. Barakallahu fikum everyone. Thank you very much for tuning in, and we'll be here again inshallah tomorrow night, and then Saturday night. Going into Sunday morning will be the big Qalam Qiyam program, inshallah. So tune in for that. Jazakumullah khairan.
Assalamu alaikum. You guys, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum.